Right, so we are up to Kuf Chavav, Sif Aleph, the deal issue with Nitzuk. Nitzuk is a flow, right? So we've dealt a little bit with flows in the past, more in terms of, in the past, what we've covered so far is the poorer, right? If the poorer is a non-Jew, so we assume whatever is poured out is going to be a problem, but whatever remains in the kli, we assume is going to be okay, because that's not considered shaking enough, that's not considered agitation enough in order for it to become Yayin Nesach. However, here we get into the following issue. Hanitzuk, I guess the Beis Yosef is what we should do. Hanitzuk Pasuk Rashi Dehavi Chibur. But however, when you have Nitzuk, so when you, that's with regards to the wine becoming Yayin Nesach, when there's no Yayin Nesach around. Right, that you're pouring out, and the wine that's out is Yayin Nesach, but the wine that's in is not. However, the Gemara seems to imply, or there seems to be a machlokas about it, but Rashi, and then there's a question, how we paskin, about if you're pouring into Yayin Nesach. So if you pour into something that has the status of Yayin Nesach, so that's going to passel everything that's in the pitcher. Now, it's a question, why should it be in that case, but not in the first case? But okay, that's not for now. But Perek HaSocher es HaPoel, right? Amar Rav Huna, the Nitzuk Chibur, that when you stream out, so then that causes a Chibur, right? A connection, L'Yayin Nesach, V'Shakli V'Taru Bebe Gemara. And that is discussed then in the Gemara. So Chasu HaTosos, SheRashi Pasak Rav Huna. So Tosfos says that Rashi passes like Rav Huna, the Nitzuk Chibur, the Nitzuk is considered connecting it, V'Rabbeinu Tam Pasuk De'enu Chibur, V'Hebi Kamarayos Ladavar, and he brings many proofs to that. Right, so Rabbeinu Tam brings proof that we don't assume that this Chibur is going to be an issue. One of those proofs is this, is the non-Jew pouring thing, right? It's one of these massive Avodah Zarah Tosfosin. On this where he does this, so he points out Rashi says one way, Rabbeinu Tam passes another way. So how do we pass him with regards to that? So the Beis Yosef continues. It says Baharush Kasav al Divrei Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rush comments on Rabbeinu Tam Rayos Elu Nechuchos Uvavuros, that Rabbeinu Tam sounds like he's right. He's got good clear proofs. Ella Shasha Hagaonim VaRashi Pasku Denitzu Chibur. What can I do? Right, the Gaonim and Rashi paskin that it is considered a chibur. V'chein das harif, v'chein das harashba, v'chasev she'ein lazuz mikabalasan shal Gaonim. And right, so we shouldn't leave our accept the Kabbalah that we have from the Gaonim, shekabalah san Torah shleim, because the Kabbalah from them is the full Torah, whatever that means. And we're going to paskin, as it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam may be right, but I don't know, right, that's not a good term to use, but it sounds like we're going to paskin that Nitzuk is going to be a Chibur. Right, b'chein kasek haRambam, the Rambam passes like the way as well. In Perek Yibeis Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, b'chein das haRan, b'docha k'tzas rayos sheheviu aposkim, and they fend off some of the proofs that are brought to Nitzuk Einu Chibur. B'chasev she Rabbeinu Tam sover came to halacha and writes that Rabbeinu Tam assumed that halacha like Rav Huna, and actually assumes that Rabbeinu Tam didn't even hold that way. Rabbeinu Tam really held that it was considered a chibur. Whatever is that tame, he says, I don't understand. The tame bainai. Tatos is a rush. Kasar Rabbeinu Tam who posed like the ain't a lot of Rav Huna. Was everyone else passing? It's not like that. But okay. Anyways, the vast majority of opinions are going to assume that Nitzuk is going to be a chibur. So therefore, v'linyan halacha kivat arif v'rambam b'chol hani rabusa maskim less or Nitzuk hari naktin v'chein pashadamim. Right? Because the Rambam and everybody else seems to agree that it's going to be considered Nitzuk is chibur, that the flow is going to connect them, we're going to be machbar in that shayla. Right? So far, simple enough. Right? Fine. So v'im taimar Nitzuk chibur hechi sharu l'mishtere b'kinishkiniz. So anybody remember what the kinishkiniz is from a little while back? Right, the kinishkiniz is some kind of vessel that has like straws sticking out of it, right? So the Gemara seems to assume, although Tosfos has uncertainty about that this is exactly what the Gemara is saying, but the Gemara seems to assume that if you have a non-Jew and a Jew that are sucking out of the thing at the same time, so long as the non-Jew is sucking out of it, the Jew's allowed to suck out of it. But if the non-Jew stops, so then the water is going to go back in. So the Rabbi Yosef asks here, says, well, what about this kanishkinis, right? So I understand that you're going to tell me that, anything he's sucking out is not affecting, agitating what's going on in there, because he's just sucking out. Yes. There should be an issue of nitzuk. There should be an issue of connections, right? So why don't we aser, why don't we prohibit drinking from the kanishkinis simply for that reason? The vade chiburu shel kli lo gar mi chiburu shel nitzuk, well, certainly the connection within the kli is no worse than the connection of this stream that comes out of a barrel into a cup.
What are you saying? straw is the connection, or the liquid in the straw?
No, the liquid in the straw. If you're going to tell me, right? So if I
it's it's connected all the way through. It's a continuous kind of thing. Okay, go.
So part here it's haran b'shem harayved b'chiyamina nitzuk chibur. That when we say nitzuk connects, honey mili ma'ida asi pahu pischa obahi bars. He says that's only what comes out. Why that should be, I don't know. About Baha'i Kanishkin is my the Asi Bibarza the Israel, lo Asi Bibarza the guy, Mushum Haki lo Have Hebrew. That which comes out.
And therefore what comes out would.
Like that which could potentially be going out. But with this Kanishkin is, I think that's what he's saying, but with this Kanishkin is, whatever the Jews getting, the Jews getting. Whatever the non-Jews getting, the non-Jews getting, and the two weren't, and the two aren't.
Are unmixed.
Yeah. That's what it seems.
Because it's an outward.
Yeah.
Concept. Okay.
I think it's like. It would seem, logic would seem to indicate that it's worse than the pouring.
Logic, but that's the question.
Because he's got it in the straw.
Right.
That's what it is. And then when he lets go on the pressure,
once he's done, it's usher. Meaning, the Gemara says that Jews are allowed to drink from it as long as the non-Jews drink from it. As soon as the non-Jews stops, so then it's a problem.
Because then it's going back in, which is the whole business of the pressure. Yeah.
So the Darkei Moshe here on the bottom comments here, Amnam Hamordechai Beperek HaSocher VaTosos Eviu Mizerai De Nitzukeinu Chibur. Right, that's actually one of the proofs that Nitzuk is not Chibur. In Cain, Einam, right, forget about the Kasha, the question is really the answer, right, that Rabbeinu Tam would say. Rabbeinu Tam says, you see, right, Kanishkin is, hello, right, that sounds like a flow to me, it sounds worse than a flow to me, so you're going to give, so you're going to fetch some kind of answer. Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you mean, why you ignore the facts, right, I'm right, right, there's really no issue of Nitzuk. So what does he say? Kinyan Machakum Nitzuk Shasukulat says, oh lo, Vaharan Ha'arich Sham B'davrezeh, Maskanasa Kamosha Kasafti. Right? And the answer is what we wrote. But meanwhile, you could kind of sense Rabbeinu, the Ramah, Darkei Moshe, kind of leaning towards Rabbeinu Tam. So does he go all out? Well, let's see that. Well, let's just do the next. We'll stay here and continue on to the next section of the Beis Yosef. He says, Shemaram Rutenberg, Hayanoig al pi gedoli tzarfast behefsim ruba hayamater nitzuk. Right, so you have this Rabbeinu Tam versus the rest of the world. So it comes to Rav Rutenberg and says, well, b'shasad chakak, I'll rely on Rabbeinu Tam. Right, in the cases of a difficult situation, some kind of hefsin meruba, significant loss, so we can rely on Rabbeinu Tam and be matir by the case of nitzuk. The Rush writes, V'chein kasev atosus, v'amordechai, v'malkom sheish hefsid gadol, yish lismuchal Rabbeinu Tam lahatir nitzok. In the case of a large loss, right, so they were going to rely on Rabbeinu Tam. Now we've had this idea of hefsid meruba multiple times so far in our learning of Yayin Nesach, as well as on our learning of Taruvah, as well as on our learning of Yasser Basar V'chala, right, the idea of hefsid meruba constantly comes up, right? What we don't, what we rarely take a stab at defining what Hefsa Meruba is. Well, the Truma Sedeshin had a shaila about this. Of course, the Truma Sedeshin is famous for making up his own shailas, but he had a shaila and with regards to this issue, right, where he actually emailed the flyer. I should have maybe reminded myself later. Where he raises the question as follows. Nachri naga b'yayin shevachavis aydei nitzuk. Right, the Nachri touched wine that was in the barrel by way of Nitzuk. Right, of Os, right, he didn't actually touch the wine in the barrel, it touched the Nitzuk of the wine from the barrel, right? Of Oso Air, Ragilim Limkor Hayainos Lenachrim. That in that city they would sell the wine to the non-Jews, Ma'at, right? Bezol, Mishim Hayu Mucharim Li Yisrael, for less than they would sell it to Jews. Right? And so therefore it would be a little bit of a loss, but still you would sell it to non-Jews. Aval. Right, but Osashana that year, Hayayin Biyoker, the wine was very expensive. Bein lehem Yayin Kasher Revucha, they didn't have that much kosher wine. Uvedochek Yishla Osot Sibur Yayin Lishtos Kol Osashana. Right, they barely had enough wine to get them through the entire year. So Yishla Hatir Nitzuk Haygavna Ola. Would that be considered a Hefsim Meruba or not? Right. So Rabbeinu Tam. So the Truma Sedeshin is going to attempt to deal with how do you define Hefsim Meruba? How do you define a large loss? So it's quoted in the key line is quoted here in the Beis Yosef. The chas of the Truma Sedeshin, right? B'shem Gedolim. The chol mashu b'chavis. If it's in a barrel, hin gedola, hin katana, chashiv hefsin meruba. Right? This is how we're going to define hefsa meruba. If it's from a barrel, that's a hefsa meruba. Lafuki mashu bakado bakankan. As opposed to if it's in a flask or a bottle or a flask, yeah. Kankan bottle or flask, right. Miyuchasav, the hecha de efshar limchor legoy. But he then goes on and writes that if it's possible to sell to non-Jews, afilu chavis gedola, chav should have some muat. Right? If you could sell it to a non-Jew anyways, and you're going to lose, so you lose a little bit of money on it, or it's going to be a pain in the neck to sell to the non-Jew. Okay, but that's not, but it's no longer considered a hefsa meruba by losing the entire barrel because you're selling it, right? Hov efshar limkor, because you could sell it. But afal pishatzarich lezalzel ksas b'mechirin, even though you're going to lose a little bit of money. And even if the wine is very expensive that year, and there's not that much wine to drink, right? We're not going to be matir in that case because you have the ability of making some of your money back. And he brings up midine truma, midine taros. But then he goes on and writes, umnam, that maybe we could be more makel when it comes to yayin nesach. Right, b'zman hazeh, right? Was it say a nowadays? The kamaduchte lo dakim from the halachmir. We find in many places that were not actually so machmir, right? We're not actually so machmir. So Truma's Deshin sounds like a big machmir here, right? He sounds like we're gonna as long as it's not in a barrel, it's going to be a hefsin meruba. And even if it is in a barrel, we're not going to consider hefsin meruba unless you're going to end up losing the entire thing. But then he says, yeah, but yai nesach. So okay, we'll be makel b'zmanazeh. It's not really avodah zara, right? For those kinds of things.
Yes.
He adds in another thing in the Darkei Moshe here. Where that's quoted from the Truma Sedeshin. I'm not really sure what he means. He even has a nice fancy footnote here in the Truma Sedeshin that I still had trouble figuring out what he meant. But he comments here in the V'sayim Sham, V'sudalo shayach hachal machshav hefsin muat. And nowadays it's not considered hefsin muat. Why? Because you could sell it to a non-Jew. The chumra da asli de kulahu. Was it a chumra da asli de kulahu? Why? The kamar rabusa asru limkor yayin hanesar v'magagoy. In many places, they prohibited the selling of wine to non-Jews that was touched. Meaning, they prohibited the selling of pusel wine to non-Jews. They didn't want that to be a business. It's unclear to me what he's dealing with here. In the footnote here, he points out that if you're not going to allow it to sell it to non-Jews, then it goes back to being hefsin meruba. So it's a catch 22. See, one or the other. But either way, that's the gedder that is given to us by the Truma Sedeshin. Okay. So how is this quoted lehalacha? So let's take a look here. In the Shulchan Aruch Chuf Chaf Vav Sif Aleph. So hamara yayin l'toch hakli, right? If somebody pours wine to a kli sheish bo yayin ovi kochavim, right? That has yayin that's prohibited bahana, meaning that has real yayin esach, right? Nesar kol hayayin shebekli ha'elyon, right? You have prohibited all of the wine that's in the upper kli. Why? Sharei ha'amud ha'nitzuk mechaber bein ha'yayin shebekli ha'elyon u'bein ha'yayin shebekli ha'tachton. Because the connection, because the stream causes this connection from the kli tachton to the kli elyon, bein ha'yayin shebekli ha'tachton, v'roim ki'ilu yayin shel ha'isr m'urav b'shel heter. It looks like the prohibited wine is mixing with the heter wine. Now that is a key word here, right? V'roim ki'ilu, it's mixing, right? So that's all, keep that in mind. V'im ira v'kitef, Shekodem shenaga bishel ha'yisr hifse kiluach hayorin me'ayayin shel heter mutis. However, if you like halt it, you flick it, you interrupt the flow, so that there's never a direct stream from the bottom to the top, from the cup to the chavis, right? So then we're not going to consider that. Then that would be okay. Fine. Come that's sif aleph sif beis. Had the nitzu chibur hanimili behefsin muat, that which we say that the nitzu connects it, that's sort of hefsin muat. when it's a small loss. About the hefsin meruma, kagon shahotzi mechavis lekli, sheyesh bo yayin nesach muta, right? If it's a big loss, for instance, it's going from the chavis into a vessel, right? So you're going to being prohibiting an entire chavis, right? Then it's going to be mutter. Now, the Beis Yosef did quote the Trumas Hadeshen, but he's not really paskening, right? You see here in the Shulchan Aruch, he's not really paskening like the Trumas Hadeshen's rules of, well, it depends if it's in a barrel or if it's in the cup, right? I think the Beis Yosef seems to be staying away from that type of categorization. It says, however, the Ramah says, the Ramah also seems to, because the Ramah says, Ve'in chiluk beinim haya harbe yayin b'chavis olo, right? It doesn't matter whether there's a lot of wine in the barrel or not. If you could sell to the non-Jew, but anything that would be lost within a cup would be considered hefsin muat. Sorry, so he is going like that. He seems to be going like that. Trumas Hadeshen. So, however, with our issue about b'shari isurim, im yachul lemochel lo v'kolchav ve'im bo hefsim ruba lo mikri hefsim ruba. He says, however, with other isurim, if you could sell it to a non-Jew, and it wouldn't be a major loss by selling it to a non-Jew, so you should sell it to the non-Jew. Right? It's only a yayin nesach issue because there perhaps is a specific prohibition of selling things to the non-Jew. Yeah, the same language, the Shach uses the same language. I'm still unclear on what that is. The Rabusa asu limkor yayin aneser v'magel v'kolchavim lo v'kolchavim. Right, there's this extra prohibition of doing it. Okay.
Extra
prohibition. There's a prohibition of selling things to non Jews. Okay. I'm not sure what he's referring to when he says that though.
Uh huh.
Okay.
So then it would be have some idea about. If you can't sell it.
Right. If you can't sell it. Right. That's what this, right. That's
right. The, yes. Right. There is been talking that they restrict. Various communities took stringencies upon themselves.
The stringencies are not selling to non-Jews, yeah. So he says this. So in a way, that's a chumrah d'asli dekula, right? Because if that's the case, we're not going to sell to non-Jews, so then we're going to end up being makel on the shaila of mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is, okay, so that's when it comes to bees. Okay. Gimel, right, there's this gemara here that basically doesn't really quote the entire gemara, so we'll just do it outside. He just
it's pretty short, sir.
Gives you what? Gimel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef actually gives you a little bit more of the Gemara, but I won't send you back there yet. Where the Shulchan he says Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Hichsir Ber. Just trying to remind myself. Shelo Hichsir Gargotani Legas. Hichsir Tani Legas. Af Mashav Legas Aser. Okay. So there is this. The Gemara tell. There's really a Mishnah. In Nesachas of Azar, all this is in Nesachas of Azar. So where it describes a, where they stomp on the grapes, the press, right? Mm-hmm. So you stomp on the grapes in the press, and then the wine, or not, it's not really wine, it drips down, ends up in a cistern. So the Gemara seems to assume that it's not considered wine. It doesn't have a din of wine until it finds itself in the cistern. So long as it's being mashed around and flowing out of the grapes, it's not considered wine yet. Right? Good so far. So then the Gemara comments and says, yeah, that's fine until you take the filter and put it back into the press. Right? So apparently, you probably got to look in the new Scheinzelt's Gemaras and see if they have pictures of this. But apparently where the wine would go, there was some kind of filter that it would go through, and it would collect, grapes, all grape pieces that would go out. And in those grape pieces, there would still be some wine. So guess what they would do with those grape pieces? They'd throw it back into the press it again to try to get some more wine out. So the Gemara says that, once you take that filter and dump it all back into the press, so that filter is already yayin nesach wine, right? So why is that filter already yayin nesach wine, right? So the Gemara starts by saying, well, because of the nitzuk issue, right? Because the wine goes through there. There's a stream that goes all the way down into the cistern, right? And then
the filter's above the cistern, or otherwise, right?
What?
How is the cistern?
Yeah, the filter's above the cistern.
Right. So it has the potential to be yayin nesach. Why would it? If a Jew is pressing the grapes and it's got the screen and everything.
No, it's Taminam, apparently. Apparently it's Taminam. Apparently it's wine that, you know, that there's no Shkacha and whatever, you know.
It's assuming that the people doing the stomping are not Shomer Mitzvah.
No, or there's somebody stirring at the bottom of the cistern, or the cisterns are above ground. I think I read this just in the last week or so, that the difference between wells and cisterns are that wells are below ground, cisterns are above ground.
Okay.
Cisterns collect rainwater. Well is like a spring.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I don't remember where I. Where would I? Come
well, that well, this? That kind of fits with this. I guess.
But they can both be below ground.
Well,
I think you're hearing out of stuff.
All right.
I'm not sure if it's Germanic.
Figure out where I read
I'm
this.
I'm still not clear about why this screen is.
No, but it's but this is a constant. This is an industrial cistern, right? So whenever non-Jews going down there to take out the wine, right?
So the screen's not on the press level. It's at the cistern. Or something.
So the assumption is that it's at the press level, and the wine goes through it and drips all the way down to the cistern.
So it separates the business end of the press from the cistern.
Right, but because there's a nitzuk that goes from there all the way down in, right, so it's going to cause that stuff to be a problem.
So we're assuming the cistern contains yayin nesek. The cistern contains something that we can't, that's forbidden to us.
The cistern, yeah. Right, the cistern itself, right, is going to be the problem. It's going to then go up.
Okay.
So then you're taking that stuff and dumping it back into the thing. So then the Gemara goes in comments and says, no. That's not really the concern. The concern is that the level of the cistern rose all the way up, so that was actually touching, right? Okay. Not that there was a nitzuk, it was actually touching, which then puts that back, puts that whole Gemara into the Rabbeinu Tam list of proofs that there's really no issue of nitzuk in the first place. But with regards to what we... but with regards to what we learn from this, Rashi learns out that Yesh Lumon Mikan Da Aflu Davar HaOmer Nitzuk Chibur Nitzuk Bar Nitzuk Lo Havi Chibur. Right, that if it's just a Nitzuk, then it's that will be Chibur. But this is a Nitzuk Bar Nitzuk. That it's coming. It's like so. You're causing the things to become usher. That's already nitzuk, and then by say, problem is you can't be mixing it. If you're mixing it in, so then it's just mixing prohibited things. But back to tomorrow. Why? He nikve hagar gutni. Right, dakin va'omdin min hatzad umigas legartuni ikachad nitzuk. Right, from the thing to the from the gas from the press to the gargutni is nitzuk number one. Right, and then umigargutni is this filter. Right, umigartuni labur, and then from there is nitzuk number two. Oh, right. So why is it? That's what he wants to know. So why is it that you're waiting for the nitzuk to be a problem once you take the filter and mix it back with the wine, right? The nitzuk should be a problem right from the beginning because it's really one long stream, or at least there's a stream that would go to the gargutni, to the filter, and then there's another stream that would go from the filter down to the bottom, right? So comes the Rishonim here and say, here you see that nitzuk is a problem, but nitzuk bar nitzuk is not going to be a problem, right? So if you're going to take a barrel and pour it into wine, and pour it into yayin esach, right? So that's going to prohibit the barrel. But if you then take another barrel and pour it into that barrel, so then that's not going to prohibit the...
Well, of course, but then the last one is the one that's the yayin esach.
Because I would say, if this is my barrel, so I'm pouring it into my yayin esach here. Right, so this is going to then, if we're saying that it's really mixing and joining, so then this whole thing should be yayin esach.
Yes.
So what we're saying is not that if I would then separate this and I would pour from my trumas adeshin into my tour, right? The trumas adeshin would not become yayin esach by way of a nitzuk to this this barrel.
Is that yayin esach? Is your tour?
This became prohibited, but only prohibited on a level of nitzuk, right? Not on a full level.
Which one got poured first?
I poured this into here, right.
This one got poured into here.
Right, so this is now usser behefsin muat. Right, so if I pour from here into here.
B poured into C first, and then A poured into B. A, B, C.
If you would like to.
A, B, C. Yeah.
Okay.
If you would like to count it that way. So that's what this halacha means. Nitzuk bar nitzuk is not considered a chibur. Okay. So that also helps to explain the further thing. I believe I've told the story of one of my rebbeim that on Seder night he had a conservative person by his house, a conservative rabbi by his house, and he was telling him, you know, we pour into someone else because you know it's Derek Malchus, right? And he said, I didn't really care whether he poured for himself or not. I just didn't want him touching any of my wine, right? So I was wondering the following. Okay. So that works with regards to the first cup. Right? First cup, I'm pouring into his cup. It's not an issue. But the second cup, you're now going to have a problem. Why? Because generally, what do you find at the bottom of your cup after cup number one? You usually find leftovers from cup number one when you're getting ready to pour it to cup number two. So wouldn't that then be a problem of nitzuk into the bottle that you were pouring from? So for that. Right? Good. Right, right. Boy, I'm holding that there for a while. So I found the answer to that.
I think you have his own bottle. Someone has to pour it from.
What? Someone will have to pour for him from that bottle. Yeah, I'm sorry, you just said that. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But so, if it's his own bottle, he can pour it himself here.
Well,
he can just pour himself for the whole thing. He's not supposed to, so you still pour it for him.
There you go.
And he gets his own bottle. That's
right.
The answer.
But he might want to. So how do we resolve that?
Take care of the overriding issue. Yeah.
So
cause a few more.
So now I'm having trouble here finding that. But the was in the Beis Yosef, was in the Shulchan Aruch, that they make the point that yes, nitzuk is an issue, but nitzuk is not going to be any worse than taruvus. I mean, if I have, let's say, I have whatever is in that bottle, right? I'm pouring from a thing into a, from a barrel into a cup. Right, that's this classic case. So I'm going to pour. So whatever is going to be caused. So the assumption is that there's enough into. What if I, instead of me pouring from the barrel into the cup, I would take the cup and pour it into the barrel. Right. So what would be the status, or not me personally, but someone not knowing what they were doing, would take that cup of prohibited wine and pour it into the barrel. Wow. Right. So what would be the status of that barrel? Well, we would judge it. Is it batel b'shishim or not? Right, so this is no worse than that, right? So in theory, if you're pouring into some and you thought that the person's cup was clean, right? So then you can assume that it would be batel b'shishim. I'm having trouble finding the location of that, but that is the.
Okay, if you want to be pedantic about it, the first little drop that goes in. I understand what you're saying, but the first little drop that goes in
is based on nitzuk. The whole if it was going drop by drop, so then there would be no shaila. Right? Because it's going drop by drop, so there's never a connection made. Right?
Yeah, that so was you get the force as fast as possible.
No. It just has to be a continuous stream. In order for it to be nitzuk, right?
Yeah,
continuous stream. Right. That's how it's working. It's working by way of that.
Drop by drop, it would just be separately, and then there'd be no continued walk.